Good morning. Let me pray for us as we begin. Father God, we thank you for your word, that it is true, and that it holds truths that have stood the test of time. And we pray that you would teach us more of that truth this morning. Amen. It would be really helpful if you could keep your Bible open at the passage that we've just had read to us in Matthew 6. I expect most people here are familiar with the BBC documentary series, Who Do You Think You Are? You've probably heard of it even if you haven't watched it. It's been running for over 15 years. And in each episode, a celebrity traces their family tree, often traveling across the world and often unearthing very sad tales as they're helped to put the pieces together of their family history. It can be very moving and often helpful for the celebrity to learn something of where they've come from and who they are. Many of you will know that before I moved to Newbury, I worked in the field of adoption. One of my colleagues there had some questions for the Who Do You Think You Are team. I can't even remember why she wanted to contact them, but she has a great passion for all things adoption, and so I expect it was related in some way. So she rang the production company and asked if she might speak to someone from the Who Do You Think You Are team. They indicated that this was possible and she was put on hold. It took so long to put her through that she half forgot who she was ringing. I'm sure you have. And so she was taken aback when suddenly a voice on the other end of the line said abruptly, "Who do you think you are?" She had to get her brain in gear very quickly to answer in the right way. Well, who do you think you are? How do you define yourself? In our culture today, people define themselves in all sorts of ways. It might be your ethnicity or your gender, your sexuality or your age. If you do lots of cycling, you might describe yourself as a mammal, a middle-aged man in Lycra. You might define yourself according to your paid employment or the job you used to do. You might see yourself as a retired person. It may be that you're most proud of being a parent or a grandparent, so that makes up a big chunk of who you are. Or it may be that who you are right now is tied up with being unwell or being unemployed. Since early in January, we've been thinking about what we do after we leave church on a Sunday, on the front line of life, as we've called it. Wherever we are, working, shopping, cooking, caring, at the gym, relaxing with friends or family. We spend more time in the week, not at church, than we do at church. Yet God, of course, is interested in our whole lives. We've considered the fact that wherever we are, we all have a place where we meet people who do not know Jesus, and that God is with us there. And then last week, we looked at the fact that whatever we do, the work of our hands matters to God. Wherever we are, whatever we do. And today we're thinking about whoever we are. Whoever we are, we make a difference in our world because of whose we are. Just think for a moment about your front line, your Monday to Saturday life. What title would you give yourself there? It may be that you were here last week and it's included somewhere in all those red dots at the back. It might be your paid job title, a plumber, a teacher, a nurse. It might be how you would describe yourself, such as General Dog's Body or Chief Cook and Bottle Washer. It might describe the role you have, such as homemaker or friend or neighbour. Having spent many years as a social worker, when I was out socially, I slightly dreaded the question as to what I did. Usually, it led to someone offloading about the fact that the state was too involved in family life. Now, I've traded that and have to confess that I'm a vicar, which isn't necessarily much better. Perhaps when asked, you found yourself saying, "I'm just a housewife, a teacher, a retired person," when there is no just about it. You may have heard of the story told by Christian author and speaker Tony Campolo, whose wife was at home full-time with their children. And she discovered that people would lose interest in her if she told them that she was a housewife and a stay-at-home mum. And she felt that they looked down on her. So she took a different tack. When someone asked, "And what is it that you do, dear?" she would reply, "I am socializing two Homo sapiens into the dominant values of the Judeo-Christian tradition in order that they might be instruments for the transformation of the social order into the kind of eschatological utopia that God willed from the beginning of creation." And then she would ask the other person, "And what do you do?" And she found they started to say, "Oh, I'm just a lawyer." The message of this morning is that whoever we are, however insignificant we feel, we make all the difference in the world because we are out there on our front lines living Monday to Saturday as children of God the Father. We are children of God the Father. There is a sense in which everyone, whether Christian or not, is a child of God because we believe that he made us all. We believe that God wonderfully made Rose Antoinette and she is his child. But we also pray that one day she will decide to take on the promises being made for her today, that she will decide to follow Jesus and trust him and know God as her father and be his child in a whole new way and walk with him. What we see in our passage today is that to be a Christian is to have a personal relationship with God the Father. In verses 5 to 8, we see that our prayers are not to be showy or public or done because we want to be noticed or want to be seen to be a good Christian, whatever that is, nor are our prayers to be long-winded and full of many words. It's easy to think that the longer our prayers, the more likely God is to hear us and to answer us. When in fact, we have a Father God who knows what we need before we ask him and who longs for us to come to him. You haven't got to persuade him by long words or work hard to get his attention. He's right there. To be God's child is individual. It's personal. We are to do business with him on a one-to-one basis. Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father. And your Father, who sees what you do in private, in secret, will reward you. And then it's there at the start of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus gave his followers, "Our Father in heaven." The prayer begins with that word of intimacy, Father. In Aramaic, it's Abba. No one in the history of the world had ever addressed God like that until Jesus did. It's the word used by little children of their daddy. It will be a precious moment when Rose Antoinette starts to say, "Daddy." It's an intimate expression of a relationship. And Jesus says that his followers can come in that same level of intimacy as himself and call God Abba, Father. He knows you and he cares for you. You are his dear child. Think of all the things you have loved about your dad. Think of all the things you hoped he would be. Maybe he wasn't. Think of all the things you hope you can be as a dad yourself. And that gives you a glimpse of the loving care God has for his children. And of course, he is a father in heaven. So he's not only good and loving, but he's powerful too. The Lord's Prayer can be so familiar that we race through it, not stopping to think too much about what we're praying. The wonder about the prayer is that it starts with reassurance as to who we are. All that we do flows from our identity as children of God. And of course, the Lord's Prayer begins, "Our Father." We are children of God the Father together, and our mission flows from who we are. And so knowing who we are, there are two things that come from that we see in the Lord's Prayer. Firstly, Because we are children of God the Father, we play our part in his purposes. And the first half of the prayer, verses 9 and 10, is all about God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that his name will be treated as holy, that due honour will be given to it. I've been in jobs where the name Jesus Christ was used as a swear word regularly. That's probably the reality for many of us here. I said nothing for years, wincing inside. And I think on only one occasion, someone who knew me well enough asked me if I found it offensive and apologized. We pray that his name will be treated as holy in our own circles and in our nation's life. May we be bold enough to stand up for that name. To pray for God's kingdom to come is to pray that his kingdom will grow, that as we move on our front lines Monday to Saturday, we will witness to those around us, and people will come to hear the good news of what Jesus has done for them and become Christians, that the gospel will spread. God's will is already being done in heaven, but we pray that life on earth may come to be a bit more like life in heaven, that individual lives will be changed and people become more like Jesus, and that compassion and justice and righteousness might govern our society. If we stop and think about this prayer and pray it sincerely, we see that we have a part in God's purposes. We live in a self-centered culture, and it tries to squeeze us into the same mold as we go about our lives. We can all too easily be concerned with creating a good name for ourselves, about building our own little empire, or with getting our own way. Here our top concerns become God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. This prayer reminds us that in becoming Christians, it's not so much that we've enlisted God's help in our lives, but that he's taken us on to use us so that we play our part in his purposes. And of course, that includes all of us in our daily contexts. He has no one else except us with hands and feet and voices to use for his purposes to be fulfilled. So because we are the children of God, we play our part in his purposes. And secondly, because we are children of God, the Father, we rely on his provision for us. And that's the second half of the Lord's Prayer, verses 11 to 13. We turn from God's concerns to ours. Since God is our Father in heaven and loves us with a father's love, he's concerned for the total welfare of his children and wants us to bring our needs to him. Give us today our daily bread. We pray for today's needs, not luxuries, but what we need. When I used to write court reports in relation to children in care proceedings, we had to address the child's basic needs, physical, emotional, and educational. So these would be for food and clothing, for appropriate medical care, for shelter and warmth, for emotional warmth, for opportunities for play and for learning, for safety and nurturing and acceptance and a sense of identity. Give us this day our daily bread. Bread is a symbol for everything necessary for the preservation of life. And we are to live a day at a time. And then we pray for yesterday's mistakes. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. If we're asking for daily bread, then it seems that we need to ask for daily forgiveness too. It's placed there as necessary for our life and our health. Here in this prayer, the things that we do wrong, the ways in which we ignore God, are all likened to a debt that needs to be paid for. Through Jesus, God forgives our sin. He cancels the debt. But we see here that we also have to be forgiving people. We can't open our hands to receive God's forgiveness while keeping our fists clenched when it comes to people who may have wronged us. That we are truly sorry for all that we have done wrong is evidenced by our forgiving others. And that can be a tall order. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we pray for tomorrow's walk and tomorrow's work. We rely on our Father God to keep us going as followers of Jesus. We shouldn't be too confident of our own ability to keep going as his disciples. We daily need his guidance, his strength against the enemy who wants to seduce us away from the ways of the kingdom. Jesus had no illusions about the power of evil. We know he himself was tempted, but he did not give in to it. So we too are likely to face times of testing. It's very easy to join in with office gossip rather than stand against it. It's tempting not to mention church when someone asks you how you spent your Sunday. We are called to pray for protection and deliverance for our front lines. The word frontline itself makes it sound like the language of war. And this prayer reminds us that the Christian life is a battle. And our workplaces or communities or home lives may feel like a battleground as we seek to be Christians there. The wonderful thing is we don't go into our front lines alone, but the powerful protecting presence of our Father God is with us. So the Lord's Prayer reminds us that we have a part to play in God's purposes in the world and that we rely on his provision as we go about our daily lives. But it all begins with a clear sense of our identity as children of God. Whoever we are, if you are a Christian here today seeking to live as a follower of Jesus, we can be confident that we make a difference, not only because of what we do, but because of who we are and whose we are. Take a postcard as you go out today to remind you during the week of the ways in which the Bible describes us. The stewards will hand them out as you go. Who do you think you are? Well, whatever job title you would give yourself, however you would describe what you do Monday to Saturday, however insignificant you may feel, we make all the difference in the world because we are on our front lines first and foremost as a son or daughter of the King of the universe, a child of our Heavenly Father. And so we've got a video clip which reflects some of that. Let's listen.
Evening comes.
Lay tasks to rest.
Thoughts reflecting on the day.
The gifts you give.
The people you trust me with.
What an honor it is.
To work within your plan.
You know my name.
For the work you give me, your strength sustains.
Yet I am more to you than instrument.
I am son, daughter, friend.
In my inmost, knit to you.
Inseparable.
Invaluable.
Loved.
Celebrated.
Heard.
Pursued.
Grace abounding.
Found in you.
My work could not win this gift from you.
Let's pray together. Lord, we come before you this morning as your children. And you are our Heavenly Father. You know us each by name. We are loved and chosen. And nothing we can do day by day could win this. Help us to walk tall as your sons and daughters, relying on you for all that we need and allowing you to use us for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.